greed has poisoned men's souls, has barricaded the world with hate. We think too much and feel too little. We think too much and feel too little. More than machinery, we need humanity. More than cleverness, we need kindness. Without these qualities, life will be violent. And all will be lost. Do not despair, for hate of men will pass, and dictators die. Dictators die. And the power they took from the people will return to the people. Will return to the people. Let us all unite. Let us fight for a new world to do away with greed. Now let us fight to free the world, to fulfill that promise. Let us all unite.
Welcome back, folks. You're in the Corporation Nation. We're talking to Daniel today. His website on YouTube is Christian Remedy in Law. Oh, good times. This whole notion, Daniel, of the devil's advocate, again, it's such a perfect title. It's such a perfect whatever you want to call it. And it's not a good one. I mean, it really does describe what an attorney does. Now, I can go to an attorney and I can say, "Hey, look, I want to fight this. You know, I see that these corporations are dumping and doing these horrible things, and over here they're stealing the water, and people now have to pay for something that's free, and over here they're doing this." And a lawyer, as the advocate for that evil thing, says, "Well, I'm sorry, but my hands are tied. The devil has my hands tied. Evil has my hands tied because what they're doing is under law, legal law. It's perfectly legal. It's perfectly, in other words, it's perfectly acceptable to the devil. And because I'm an advocate of the devil, I'm an advocate of that which is against man, the adversary of man, opposed to life itself and nature and God. Therefore, sorry, my friend, but, you know, I can certainly go to court for you. You can pay me hundreds of thousands of dollars to lose, you know, for a case that I know we're going to lose, but, you know, there's nothing I can do. My hands are literally tied because I'm a legal lawyer in the legal system for legal purposes only." Wow.
And that's all they go in for. They're only there, basically for the legal debtor. They can't operate any other way. They need a debtor in their system in order to operate. So they need they're opposite, I said, to a spirituality. Spirituality tells you you're under forgiveness with a forgiven name. They need you to be the surety for the debtor name so that they can give you legal advice in the fiction, because that's the opposite. Legal is opposite to grace, or opposite to reality, or opposite to spirituality. It's the undoing of God's law, as we found in that Britannica, of course, that was dealing on the arts and sciences. Legal defined as that, the undoing of God's law. So they operate contrary to it.
I have a question for you.
They only see judgment, and they only see a judgment debtor, and they need someone to be a surety for that every single time.
I have a question for you regarding that, actually. Now, I was in the thrift store today, and I found this wonderful, wonderful, massive tome called Strong's Concordance. I got the Strong's Concordance for $3. Big, beautiful book. And that's what I go there for, is to look for those old books. But I looked in one of the dictionaries, and it was an older Webster's dictionary, and it defined the word legal. I'm always looking up that word in different dictionaries whenever I can, just to get different opinions. But one of the things it referred to, and I was a little confused by this, I was hoping you could maybe clear this up a little, or talk about it. It said that the word legal refers to the Mosaic law. Now, I assumed that that is referring, you know, obviously that means Moses, but I was assuming that refers to sort of the, I didn't know if that referred to the old law, in other words, the Old Testament, the eye for the eye, and that kind of thing, but I was kind of shocked to see that it refers to Moses, right? And I know that they've, you know, that our Congress has openly stated And we've talked about it before, that the Noahide laws are really what this country is based on, which I found very frightening, because, you know, that means literally that the Christians get the guillotine. But I was kind of blown away when I read that actually was that one of the definitions for the legal realm, the legal law, anything created by law, was the Mosaic law.
Well, I think they're using, to some extent, a reference to it, referring in it, because there was a lot of fear still that man was going through a journey at that time, when before man required it to be carved in stone, those 10 laws, you know, which every one of them we violate, by the way, through our system of government. So all the 10 commandments are violated. So we actually, so if they're basing it, their government on it, they violate it. They violate every single one by their operation of what they do. So, and I could go down that on another show where we could go down every one of the 10 commandments from 1 to 10. And I'll show you how basically our democracies or our forms of government right now violate all that. Now, God's law has nothing to do with man's law, because man's law operates his own. He's got 4 million laws and statutes, roughly. Well, the Bible doesn't have 4 million laws and statutes. So therefore, and God does not call his government a democracy. And he never shared his sovereignty at all with man. He was always considered to be in a position warning him when he was moving away from him, telling him what would happen when he would start to want what the other nations were doing that was not right or healthy. And he said that they would lose their children to war and lose their land, and all those things would come about. And that's in the book of Samuel. So we're not, I think what people are mixing up, and I think it happens more so in the United States, because it seems to be this idea that the founding fathers were actually running the Bible. Well, if they were running the Bible, then they wouldn't have had any more than 10 commandments. But they went way beyond that. So why are all these laws being passed if the United States is basically based on the 10 commandments? Based on it, maybe. Like it says that maybe something's based on a true story. It doesn't mean it is. It isn't. So they've literally caused the complication of it. Now you got a whole wall full of the laws of England. That certainly seems way beyond the 10 commandments. Her Majesty is supposed to be the, you know, sworn an oath to uphold the Bible. She may be upholding the Bible in one way by punishing those who actually don't follow the Ten Commandments and got mixed up in her regime of government. I mean,
well,
she's in the story. All these guys are all pagans. They're not actually operators and believers of the Bible. And how could anybody who has a group of people called the Devil's Advocate possibly be upholding anything to do with God?
Well, that's the kind of interesting thing about it, because when you think about it, it's like this whole realm has been created for those, when it says, you know, it's referring to the Mosaic Law. Well, I kind of take that to mean that there is a system for blood and the blood of Christ, and then there is a system for those who don't have the blood of Christ. There's a system developed for the legitimate folks out there who do follow the law, that don't need a legal system to know what is right and wrong. And then there's this system that is developed to literally govern the illiterate, govern the whatever you want to call that common goyim group of people. And that's kind of how I took that. What I took that to mean is, and that is the whole notion of kingdoms and fiefdoms and all of that stuff too. So, you know, it's almost as if it's a necessity, but it seems like the necessity, a necessary evil, in other words, an evil to take care of the evil, but it almost seems like the evil has gotten out of hand and become the Lord. Danny, you still there?
I'm there. Sorry, I lost you there for a second. I had a little bit of station interruption there.
What a surprise! What a surprise!
Yeah, well, it happens occasionally. So where were we at? Just re-update me.
Well, it just seems to me like I said, I feel like there's a necessary evil going on, and when I say that, I say it in a very guarded way. When I say that there's a system called legal that is there, and maybe it had a purpose at one time to keep in check those who were illiterate, who did not read or write, who needed to be governed, you know, that kind of thing. You know, the more I agree that
we probably are in a world, if you did look at it, if there wasn't something out there holding back a lot of, I would just say that it holds back a good majority of the masses who would possibly, I'm going to leave that because I'm not there to judge anybody, I'm just saying, but right. From what I see at times, there appears to be that energy that if you did not have these penalties and fines and fees, and fear with guys walking around with guns and bats to hold back people that are not good. So there'd be a crazy anarchy out there. And yes, there would be this crazy civil unrest that would go to, you know, huge, beyond immoral stages against their fellow man. Yes, they're there for their own. People that are in that category need to be governed by these guys. So I say, lawyers, knock yourself out on those people.
Well, and that's what it seems like, is that the attorneys, they got in there, and they weren't supposed to. They're supposed to be burned at the stake, back like they were in the 1600s. But they're supposed to be hung from the nearest tree, but instead they got in there somehow, and they normalized that realm as opposed to the realm of the spiritual that we're always talking about. It seems like they got in and they just corrupted everything. The devil got in through its advocacy, and the devil came in and just basically ruined everything and made that realm the normal realm. That's what it seems like. It like got out of control. Like this, like I said, this necessary sort of evil, which is this open-air prison, basically, just got out of hand, and it became the dominant feature of the land.
You know, in simplicity, the law was placed out there for lawbreakers to let them know what they were not supposed to do. When people are walking in a spiritual position, they literally do know that love would never murder or steal or do any of those violations against the Ten Commandments. Therefore, you wouldn't need to tell someone 50 ways how not to steal. And what are they going to be the 50 penalties you're going to get for that in those various categories? It would be explanatory in itself, thou shall not steal, or thou shall not kill. But we do all those things, unfortunately, in this world. The world and the collective commits all those crimes on a daily level. And therefore, it needs a system to control that. So I'm not saying it's a necessary evil. I just said that evil is actually there for its own evil. The good has to separate from the evil to not be in that collective. And this is where people are trying to be part of a collective, but they don't realize they're energizing evil and identifying themselves as evil.
And isn't that the main tenet of the whole book, is that you cannot be part of that system and also be walking in the spirit. It's just, it's an impossibility. And that's why it tells you to draw a line, get away from the thing that's corrupt. That's the instructions. I don't know.
Well, it said, do not touch the unclean thing. When it said, be separate, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers.
Yeah.
They don't believe in the sovereignty of their maker, and so therefore they have placed other rulers in place for themselves, which of course they're going to advocate evil, because that's not the message from the spirituality. The spirituality says God is your maker. You're the spiritual source that created this universe, not the man's version of his governments and those he places as kings. These are basically, unfortunately, part of the fiction, the make-believe, and they will make you believe when you have a make-believe name that you actually consent to be identified by. And the only thing you can do is remove consent. That's the big word that people have to get through their head, that their privacy can be removed out of that public aggregate. But it is going to require an effort of faith, because faith without works is dead. So you have no way to show your faith unless you start to do something about it. And you're acting at this point in good faith. Unfortunately, most people are energizing bad faith, and they don't see that. Yes, Her Majesty is defender of the faith for her realm, but people don't understand what they didn't define good faith or bad faith, did it? It just said faith.
Well, and these words, unfortunately, they don't have a positive or a negative meaning. They just are words. They have a specific meaning, but it's not good or bad or good or evil. It's just faith, right? It's just, I mean, God is the same type of word. I mean, God can mean the supreme almighty being that cannot be really named or explained, or it can mean a heathen, an idol. It can mean the president. It can mean the queen. It can mean the pope. So you can't look at a word and say it's a good or evil word. Everything is based upon the way it's applied, upon the faith and belief and application of the word. And that's something that, again, it's hard for people, I think, to fathom. I can say the F word all day long and never really mean anything when I say it, and yet I can offend thousands of people by saying it. Even though I'm not saying it at them, it's not a good or evil intent. It's just a word that means absolutely nothing to anybody but myself. So words are, they have to be applied. They have to be thrown. They have to be purposefully used in the intent that you're showing. And our problem is that we allow them to decide what that intent is. We use their words and allow them to define them. And so when we use them, we think we're using them in a different way. Hey, it's 1-800-313-9443, 800-313-9443, if you'd like to call in today. Got a question for Daniel. I don't take calls that often with you, Daniel, but good times.
Yeah, no, it's good to actually invite an audience in, because we are at the – I mean, at least I feel I'm at the final stage of this, that I've been working with a good friend, and we've been kind of like just going over this every week, and like I said, then I have other friends that, you know, work outside, they're not right in the same, building with me that have been working on the same thing too. And I have another good friend who does that from outside, cause he's not always here, but he comes in as often as he can. And we're rocking it, because we both came from a biblical background, at least, the one that's more so from the outside. My other friend, I mean, he admits that, you know, his life wasn't, you know, really, you know, in the direction where he got to research the Bible. He was raised more in a Catholicism background. So he knows, and it's hard to kind of sometimes, get things into perspective, because we've been imprinted so much from different things to cause our mind not to be open to actually do a really good due diligence on it. But we are at the final stage on this, so we know that it is something that we can do. It's not something the government is going to do until you do it. But you tell them that you're not entitled to that name. You won't get a birth certificate. You won't be known as a citizen of them anymore, based on the fact, not that you're renouncing it, you're actually saying that you were never entitled to it. You're denying entitlement to that. You're denying entitlement to that person that's named on the birth certificate that is not you.
Well, there's a...
And that's clearly where the military comes in, because military law is based on denial, not based on affirmation. When you affirm something, you have to provide the proof. We never really provide any proof other than our showing up to court energizing the fiction. But the original tribunal that we were brought through under the military document of the Registrar Generals, we were accused of something, but we've never rebutted the statement. We've never denied it. So we confirmed it later when we said, yep, that's me. I'm the guy that's entitled to be that debtor. Yep, sign me up.
Well, it's just an attachment, right? It's just
so
it's like
age of election,
it's like,
unfortunately, we made the wrong choice. The majority of the audience, such as myself, have made that wrong choice at that point, but it does not mean that we still can't make the right choice.
Yeah. It's an attachment, something that is attached to you. You are like a piece of Velcro, basically. The application is created, and the applicator, of course, puts an attachment on you, and you basically acknowledge the attachment, therefore you're attained for the rest of your life, until you say, well, wait a minute, I don't think this actually applies to me. I've been acting as an attorney for it, but I had no idea what I was doing. It's time to step out. Let's go to John. John in New York, welcome.
Hey, Clint, how you doing? Hi, Danielle.
Yeah, how's it going?
Clint, a question for you, and it doesn't really pertain to that. Actually, it does pertain, because I want to have Daniel's view on it. Monday and Tuesday, you had the same guest on, and I was kind of blown away, and then at the end, I happened to go to his website, and they seen how much, and I was just wondering if that was just a sell job, or it was something that you took to heart, or should we take to heart? I don't know. I was kind of confused at that show.
A lot of people seem to be confused about that. The whole point of that was the reason that I wanted him on. His name was Scott Quaid. Is that who you're talking about?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. He had a lot of experience with the language itself. And I'm always looking for people who have done their due diligence and actually read the language and deciphered the code, if you will. So, I mean, there was a lot of interesting information. A lot of it, I had to tell people, look, this is not my personal opinion. I mean, of course, every guest that I have on, even Daniel here, I don't completely always agree with. I mean, it's not like, you know, so people were for some reason really kind of put into shock by that particular guest. Instead of listening to what he actually had to say, they just took the few things that he did say out of context, I think, and basically used the old fallacy of attack the messenger and forget the message.
You know, I got to say, I wasn't really attacking him. I found what he said was pretty mind-boggling, and I listened intently to those two shows, as I do pretty much every one of your shows, I think it just blew my mind away. I was just like, really? Could this be, you know, one of those moments? Jesus, like, you know, really searching my own thoughts, you know, wondering if it could be or couldn't be or what.
Well, I look at the other reason I had, I mean, the main reason I had him on is because I study so much of the epigenomic stuff and all the DNA and everything, all these vaccines and everything that's happening in there. And this guy's sitting here saying, yeah, you know, Adam's rib was DNA. It was ribonucleic acid, RNA, which is the same, the notion of the Gnostics and all that. You know, everything this guy was saying wasn't just about the Christian Bible, it was about all of the books that were before. It was the Epic of Gilgamesh, it was the, you know, we have to come to the rationale and the admission that the Bible is a plagiarization in a lot of its stories. I mean, we can't ignore that. If we do, we're just, I mean, that's just pure ignorance. So, you know, it's something that you have to, okay, you have to step back and you have to say, all right, we started with what's his name, who claimed, you know, who said a big run-on sentence to explain what God was. It was a bunch of different gods, and he called it the Anunnaki, right? Hammurabi, the Code of Hammurabi. And then as we go progress into the future, we get down to the single word God, basically. So you start out with the guy who claims to be God on Earth because of the gods, which were the Anunnaki, which were the aliens, whatever, and then you finally get down to the point where now you have the Pope claiming he is God on Earth because of Christ or because of the single, you know, version of God. You just can't look at that and say, oh, well, I'm going to ignore the rest of written history and just say the Bible just, you know, suddenly manifested itself out of nothingness. You can't do that. So that was sort of the reason, one of the reasons I had on there. The other reason was, of course, the notion that when it says, you know, Eve was created by the rib of Adam, well, mm-hmm. yeah, that makes a lot of sense when you start applying what is happening today, which is cloning and all of the genetic research and all this stuff that's going on. How do you ignore what's happening today and then look at all the words that this guy has defined and looked in the concordances and said, yeah, that's what it means. You know, all of my guests, I tell, you know, take it with a grain of salt, verify it. If you're really interested, you can pay $20 a month for that guy and go and join his little club. I mean, we got someone complained about that to me, and I was like, really? Because we have a doctor on this RBN network that charges $350 for just a one single phone call for an hour. Yeah. Why are you complaining about a guy who says, you know, $20 and you can have all my research and talk to me for a whole hour every month? I mean, why are people so against this guy? Because he's saying something that's not quote unquote normal, right? I don't know. I was pretty disappointed with my audience more than anything, honestly.
I gotta tell you, I'm calling you. Well, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was gonna say I'm calling you. I wasn't disappointed with him. I was just like, you know, it was a lot to take in. I think for everything. I'm gonna say I took this whole journey since the very first time I've heard you. I heard you on the Anna show. I kind of been with you, and I love listening to Danielle. I was thinking about going to see him up in Toronto when he was doing one of his, I don't know if he calls him a seminar or what, but I was literally considering going and getting an enhanced license just so I can go see him and talk with him.
Well, Daniel, are you gonna have any more get-togethers up there?
I'm at the stage now where I would say yes. That's around the corner because I've been helping people in understanding. I am doing a small little private session with a group of people on the 29th, but it's just more than understanding actually how the system itself in its schematic operates, because they didn't know, and they're going on to some things, at least in the moment, that they're 2 feet or better better situated because they have a knowledge of what is going on in the legal system that they wouldn't have seen. My overall long term, of course, is not being part of it, not being part of the collective at all. And I do believe that we have the basis to do that. And as long as, like I said, that the Bible at least is not a banned book, that mm-hmm. charter exists for people going down that journey. But my holding back on videos. And it was to get to the end of this, which was we gave enough information or at least enough knowledge of how and what things are so that people understood even the basis of what the name is and what comprises in a name, which unfortunately has been one of the greatest deceptions out there, because that's what gets people into the problem, because they don't even understand how the name operates.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, and I was doing a little thing yesterday. I was talking about the word noun and its origins goes all the way back to the BC, and it's always meant name. Everything's always been bad about naming things. So we'll be back. Stay tuned.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Earthquakes, hurricanes, nuclear accidents, terror attacks, and all-out social collapse. With the world today more volatile than ever, the future has never looked more uncertain. Survivalist Magazine is the one resource you can't afford to be without. Claim your free trial subscription now at www.survivalist.com, and your first issue ships immediately. Get all the details and more at www.survivalist.com or order by phone. Call 1-866-437-6570. Your survival may depend on it.
Recent events have shown just how vulnerable we are to deadly viruses, bacteria, and fungus. These diseases are all caused by infectious pathogens that often get the upper hand on conventional medical treatments. Now more than ever, there's a great need for a product that will help protect us. Look no further. Supernatural Silver can provide immune system support to help fight off these deadly pathogens. Supernatural Silver is a new and vastly improved type of silver solution that's safe and extremely effective against 143 types of bacteria, both forms of viruses, mold, and yeast. Supernatural Silver can be taken orally or used topically and can be used in a nebulizer or vaporizer for inhalation. With over 180 scientific studies by independent universities, hospitals, and research institutions, Supernatural Silver is a powerful weapon against disease. Go to supernaturalsilver.com and use the promo code SILVER2014 for 20% off your entire order. Give you and your loved ones a fighting chance with Supernatural Silver.
Americans are reeling from Obamacare, higher prices, and an epidemic of policy lapses. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com has you covered. World-class medical and surgery at one of Asia's most modern hospitals. 300 doctors, surgeons, and dentists serving 300,000 patients a year. Fractions of U.S. prices. Friends or family forced to go out of pocket? Avoid bankruptcy. Tell them to run. Run like hell. Hit us up now. We'll show you how. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com.
Free Your Mind returns to Philadelphia April 10th, 11th, and 12th, 2015 with a three-day conference featuring top-caliber whistleblowers and researchers from across the country who will shed light upon our world's problems and bring forward empowering solutions. To get your tickets and to donate, go to www.freeyourmindconference.com. Free Your Mind. It's your world. It's your future. Empower yourself.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here is what people are saying.
Heart problems were in my family, and I did notice these chest pains occasionally. I decided to try it, and I don't think I'm going to stop for quite a while. Nothing has worked as well as this product has promised to. I've taken, you know, supplements and that sort of thing and never really noticed a difference.
Well, I turned 60, and when I went into the doctor to get my reports, the lady at the desk, she looked at it, and she says, "Wow." I says, "What's that say?" So she came back and looked at my last check. She says, "Well, you've gone down half on your cholesterol." So she says, "I guess don't do a thing, only what you're doing right now."
To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Yeah, I you know, like I said, I got this Strong's Concordance book today, and it's this massive book. Like I said, $3, what a deal, right? The Hebrew word for ribs is tsala, T-S-A-L-A-H, and it means to curve, like as in the DNA, the helix, the double helix, to curve. Genesis 2:22, and the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, he made woman, made he woman, and brought her unto the man. Well, what's the Hebrew word for made in Strong's 1129? Made means to build. Well, how do you build? You know, replicate means to duplicate, right? That's what you do in all these. So, you know, you start looking at these words, and it's pretty fascinating. When you actually, again, define the words as they were sort of meant to be read, it becomes a whole different notion, a whole different book. But you know, are you to take my word for it or my guest word for it? No, go research it. I always tell that people, you know, what you're hearing from me is my own personal research. It was his personal research. You should have your own. And if you don't find that, if some reason you look in Strong's Concordance and you see that the word for rib doesn't mean to curve, I mean, I don't know what to tell you, right? I mean, it's not like telling you somebody something that can't be shown. And so, again, you know, the opinions of the guests are not necessarily the opinions of the host, but it's darn fascinating to listen to. So, yeah, Daniel, I think you need to organize another get together for people, man.
Yeah, I think it's at the stage now. There's enough of an audience, and I think that at this stage, because things are happening and people are concerned, and it has a lot to do with this private and public situation. People have to realize that that public side, even though I may run what is considered the inviting the public in, technically I'm trying to reach their private side, which is who they really are. It's the good guy that's inside. Is that private guy, and he has the unalienable right to not be part of that public mess. And the public is the problem. We need protection from the public. It's, when I used to run a wildlife center of teaching, people would say, "Oh, you've got these animals in these protective cages. Can they escape and hurt us?" I said, "You don't realize I don't have the cages around the animals to protect you from them, it's to protect them from you." And that was the truth of it. And after listening to people of the public, inviting the public in is why you need all that fake insurance out there, is because the fact is that these people are in the fiction, and therefore you carry a fictional name to be part of them. To be in that public, that realm, that tax realm, that imposition, that line of duty for those that are going to be legal. It's not for those that are actually going to be relieved of that and made free from the liberty, the true liberty, not claim right. This is where this unfortunate movement has happened, where when you start talking about, there's been, of course, you know, and it's not to ditch anybody in particular, it's not that. It's just that there has been a large matrix following of people that have used the terms free man, but in the sense where they understand where that came from a feudal system of just a bunch of feudal slaves trading amongst themselves. You were still responsible to your feudal lord. You were never free from him because he's the guy collecting all the bounties off of you.
Well, sure, and that's a maxim of law, and it's a very important maxim of law, that every man is either a slave or a freeman, one word. You're either one or the other, and that implies that you always, always have a master.
Yes. So it's kind of just on what side someone's on. The spiritual side, I always look at that we owe our spiritual maker absolute allegiance, because that's the one who actually didn't pollute the planet and gave us the gift. The problem is we've got these bad guys operating the fictional side, and they're not there for anybody's well-being. They're there for their own selfish greed, and I don't want to be part of them anymore, nor part of their tag system of branding and labeling. They are running an opposite, like a logo on everything. They have a logo, a commerce tag on everything that they control, based on people's consent to be tagged. And people would say, "Well, I have to do this." And I'm going, "No, that's not really the case, because when Christ said, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, when did Caesar have the right to your unalienable God-given name? That one never belonged to Caesar. Caesar runs his own logos, and he creates his own brands and labels and makes and models. And he just brands you as such if you allow yourself to be branded. But you don't have to be part of that. So it is based on consent, and they're operating a system based on you consenting to be part of that. Now the problem is, when you're consenting to be part of it and then you don't pay your fee for using it, now watch the armed force of their paid army come after you.
Exactly. John, anything else, my friend?
I was just wondering if Daniel was coming out on the Free Your Mind tour, or if KW was going to head up there.
Well, I've never crossed the border with non-pictured ID, though I do believe some Amish people have got over the border with the only document that I have at this stage. It's kind of an interesting thing. I've never had a demand or a need to cross that border. From what I've been told, it's very unfriendly. I would definitely have to send out a warning ahead of time, or at least a notice or a message ahead that I was coming, because I wouldn't want to be sitting there causing a problem at the border.
Well, we'll take that as a no. Well, KW
up here, let alone safe down there.
Yeah, exactly. Definitely not KW, and probably according to Daniel, not Daniel. But like I said, Daniel, as soon as you organize something up there for the Canucks, we can let people know, definitely.
And we could do something close to the edge of where the crossover to the border is, that we wouldn't have to have guys traveling too far into our province.
Sure. All right, John, thanks for the call, man. Let's go to Caesar, also in New York. Welcome, Caesar.
How are you today?
Good.
Good evening, how are you?
Very good.
I'm glad to hear. You guys got an amazing show. My question is that you hear all the talk shows and, you know, and what's going on. You see what's going on, the corruption, the everything that's really going on. I mean, it seems that we are headed towards demise. I see this country totally gone. I don't see it coming back. I can't see how it will come back.
Well, yeah, I guess when you say the country, I guess you got to be more specific. Do you mean the current system of law? Do you mean the thing we call property, which is actually a debt? Do you think it's going to be sold? I mean, what do you foresee happening besides a total police state or something, you know, much, much worse? You know, when you say the country's not going to be here, what do you mean?
Well, Clint, I mean, you're aware that we have foreign troops here, and that even Judge Scalia said not if but when these troops will move in. I guess they have the camps already ready for us. They're waiting for us, the FEMA camps.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard that. I haven't really seen any strong evidence to show that is, you know, I mean, it's. I don't know, honestly, if that's a reality or not. I mean, we can only speculate, right? So I don't know how to answer that.
Yeah, we could speculate, yeah, but I mean, you see, listen, Clint, you see, we have a squatter in the White House. We don't even have a first lady in the White House. We have our first black queen. We've been hoodwinked. This man, Barry Sotoro, a.k.a. Obama. Where did he get the name Obama from anyway to begin with? Because I was in Chicago. And we used to call him Cousin Barry. Where did he get the name Obama from?
Well, see, this is the other aspect of this. Now, people think that there's some rule or regulation that requires a certain status or a certain to be president of the United States. It's just the corporation. I mean, there's no I don't say that the president of the United States is not the same person that is manifested in the Constitution as we. I mean, it's just it's so hard to put this into words, but I think we have exactly what we should have. I think we have exactly what we deserve in the White House. I don't know what to do. You could talk about them all you want, but it's just an extension of us. I mean, we got together and we voted, right? We expressed our franchise and legitimized the whole thing. And those of us that didn't, those of us that aren't wanting that particular president aren't doing anything about it, so we got exactly what we should have, as far as I'm concerned.
Clint, let's be honest with each other. We haven't voted for anyone in this country since 1913 when they passed the Federal Reserve Act, which is as Federal Express.
Well, that's not true. I mean, that's all. Okay, you're parroting a lot of stuff that you're hearing that's not true. Unfortunately, yes, you are a voter. The problem with a voter is that a voter is not an elector. So you're confusing a voter with someone who elects. It's not the same thing. You are a voter. It's a, that's part of the franchise of citizenship. You can, you're a municip. You're under a municipal government. You can hold offices in the municipal government as in the agency that you're in. You can't hold higher office like them, but you can hold a municipal office. You can't be necessarily a magistrate like them, but you can hold the lower offices. You're a voter. You do vote. So all of that is bull. I'm sorry. Federal Reserve is federal. I mean, I'll have that debate with you any day. You can parrot it. It is a federal agency.
It's a private corporation.
So is government. So, I mean, if you're going to say the Fed is private, then you have to say government is private.
Well, I mean, I guess the president is just the CEO of the corporation.
Well, yeah.
But what I'm saying is when you go vote, okay, you don't pick, they pick and choose, all right, who their man is. It's like a horse race. They own all the horses, so they don't care who wins.
Sure. Doesn't mean you're not voting.
Yeah, but I'm saying it's... Listen, Clint, I'd rather have you up there than have one of them. How's that? I'd rather have Daniel up there than have one of them. All right? I was happy when Sonny Bono was up there, and he was a singer.
Well, yeah. I get you, man.
You get me?
Thanks for the call.
You understand me? I mean...
Well, I do,
you up there.
I appreciate that, but you're talking about something that I'm not a part of. It rules me. I can't rule it. That's the thing. We have a misunderstanding of the whole system. And so, I mean, I appreciate the sentiment, but it's all just, it's all political in nature. It's all legal in nature. It's not real. As long as you're focused on it, as long as you're focused on the fact that Obama's wife is actually a man, as long as you're focused on the fact that Obama's name is Obama, and then again you might as well be in the Hollywood rags. That's really all you're doing. I mean, by parroting all of this stuff, by parroting that the Federal Reserve is not part of government, which is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. Once I did the research and tried to verify that, it's all patently ridiculous. All this stuff you hear on the what's Patriot Radio or whatever, it's, I don't know what they're calling it now, Truth. It's all, you know, most truth out there is a lie. And I stand by my words. I've backed it up. I've looked at the Federal Reserve. I pull up their CAFRs. I've read and read and read. I went over the Federal Reserve Code. It's all untrue. All that stuff is all a big lie. So, I don't know. Thanks for the call, man. Let's go to Tony in Massachusetts. Welcome, Tony. You're on with myself and with Daniel.
How you doing, fellas?
Good. Good.
You guys ever hear of Jordan Maxwell?
Sure.
Yeah, I've heard of him. Yep.
He's got a short video clip on YouTube. It's called Your Birth Certificate is Worth Billions. And halfway through that video, he explains how every birth certificate has a basically a stock number at the, I believe he said, left bottom side. I'm not positive exactly, but he says if you take that number and you go to your stockbroker and have him put that in, it'll tell you exactly how much your birth certificate is worth.
Well, okay, so let's say that is actually the case. Let's say that you used to be able to go to Fidelity Investments, you used to be able to do all this. But what does it mean when it's worth $1 billion? I mean, let's see.
Well, I guess that was billion, just to grab some. I guess that
well,
was just
but
to
think
grab,
about it.
Grab your
but I want
attention.
I want you to think reasonably. What is $1 billion?
I'm not exactly understanding your question.
What is $1 billion? If a dollar represents debt, what is $1 billion?
Absolutely nothing.
That's what your birth certificate is really worth, unless you operate within it. Then really the value of the birth certificate is your flesh, your labor, everything that you think you own, which actually is owned by government because you own it through the birth certificate name. Forget the dollar value. The dollar value is just a debt value. Really,
yeah, anything below zero is a ridiculous concept to begin with because it's all negative. It's all like below. Debt is debt. You can't get any lower than zero, but we do it. We actually go below that. So
yeah,
it's dramatic. And so you can't get any less than nothing, but we've actually gone through a concept of creating more than a debt of nothing.
I can't sell you anything by telling you, hey, I can show you a way to show that your birth certificate is worth billions, that Raytheon owns your number, and that this and this and that, and then and this and then that. I don't have anything to sell you, so I'm not telling you that. I'm telling you that the $1 billion doesn't mean anything in the grand schema of things when you're really considering, you know, reality. It means you're worthless. Literally. you're worth something to a bunch of attorneys, sure. But in reality, that makes you your consideration not of God. And that's that's giving up of being priceless, basically. So, and it's interesting because when you actually look at what a man of God is, a man is unsellable. It's unpurchasable, unalienable. We'll be back.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology. All while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureFectFilters.com.
Nutritious food is real body armor. It builds muscle, burns fat, improves digestion, and feeds the entire body the nutrients it needs. Did you know the U.S. government banned the hemp plant from growing in the United States and classified it as a Schedule 1 drug to hide it behind the marijuana plant? People have been confused about this plant for over 80 years, and many still don't know what hemp is. So now you know hemp is not marijuana, and marijuana is not hemp. They are different varieties of the same species. HempUSA.org wants the world to know these basic facts and to help people understand that hemp protein powder is the best-kept health secret you need to know about. Remember, hemp protein powder contains 53% protein, is gluten-free, anti-inflammatory, non-GMO, and is loaded with nutrients. Call 888-910-4367, 888-910-4367, and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org.
Dr. Joel Wallach, author of the famous health lecture, Dead Doctors Don't Lie, presents his newest book, Epigenetics. Epigenetics is required reading for the very survival of Americans, and yes, all of humanity. Modern man has bet on the wrong horse to save them from disease and pestilence. The medical system has failed us fearfully. Join the health revolution. Buy Epigenetics today and receive a free membership to purchase all the products that Dr. Joel Wallach formulated at wholesale prices and receive a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. All this for only $25 plus shipping and handling. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311. Again, that's just $25 plus shipping and handling. And you'll receive the new book, Epigenetics, a free membership and a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. Call 888-311-4311. That's
888-311-4311. Did you see the frightened ones? Did you hear the falling bombs? Did you ever wonder why we had to run for shelter when the promise of a brave new world unfurled beneath the clear blue sky?
All right, folks, welcome back.
There's no place.
Interesting thing I was actually looking for it, but I can't find it. I have it in my research somewhere that, you know, most of these people out there are actors. I'm not going to say, you know, I always kind of liked Jordan Maxwell. I always kind of, you know, his stuff was cool, it sounded cool, and a lot of it is parroted in my own work. I mean, I fell upon all the same stuff that he falls upon, although I've never used any of his research. He claims everybody plagiarizes him, although it's just information. But like so many actors, you know, Daniel's coming on here. Daniel, is your real name?
Yeah, I'm here. Yep.
Is Daniel your Christian name?
Daniel is my Christian name. So that's
it's
the name
real
that we put
name.
On
You're not using
letter.
A fake name, right?
No. It's not a fake name. That is actually the name that my parents bestowed upon me.
Yeah. Well, same here. Not the case with Jordan Maxwell. I can't remember. I'm not going to reveal his real name. But just so you know, most of the people that are in the limelight are not using their quote unquote real name. They're using a stage name, just like every actor in Hollywood uses a stage name. A lot of them are doing that because they're hiding their Jewish name. So just to let you know, I mean, when someone gets on a show and starts talking like I'm talking and is not using even using their God-given name, that to me is something that would concern me. So I'm just I don't want that to be construed as a fallacy. I don't want to, you know, but there's a lot of people out there using false names, and I personally find that something that puts me on a cautionary point. But the notion that the birth certificate is worth money is probably one of the worst considerations. I mean, if you really want to demean your own self, you want to demean your own value, which is a priceless commodity of God, of nature, something that is priceless, well, then I invite people to go over and buy what's his name's, you know, what's his real name's work, because he sells it, and go find out the value of your name. I mean, if that's what you're into and that's what this is all about to you, then you're probably not at the right network. You're probably not at the right radio show. And that's my honest answer to you,
yeah,
my friend.
On the money, asking, you're right, Clint. The biggest problem on this is as long as someone's for sale, they're on the take. And that's where the biggest problem is. They always say a man's got his price. And so generally most politicians and most judges and most lawyers and most people out there, they all have a price tag of what they're willing to sell themselves for. And so that's where the problem is. And that's where the first sign of you, when you're setting up a charitable group that are going to do all volunteer labor together, you don't want anybody on the take or anybody getting paid because you know they're there for the wrong reason then. And therefore, it is a matter of you know, absolute trust that's what it's about. It's about a completely unselfish position to really get the price tag. If you don't want a price tag, so if there's the amount of money you're chasing, then you're further, unfortunately, pulling the illusion on their own fictional of them to be known as. And even if there was a hidden amount, they would never have to disclose it to you because that would be a state secret. It's a secret of an invention. Because they invented it.
And what's it's always the privilege of kings, right, to keep secrets? That's the whole purpose of being a king, is to keep those mysteries, keep those secrets. Yeah. Anyway, thanks, guys. Thanks for the calls. Thanks, Daniel. And we'll see you next week. Take care.
With financial